and how it applies to our lives. It's very easy to take these things and think it doesn't apply to us, or that we aren't the problem. God, I pray that we would examine our own lives first, get our own hearts and our own minds right first, so that we can then go out and be the salt of the earth. God, move, speak. Speak through me. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. So Jesus says this in Matthew 5:13. And he gives it a lot of context. So if you go into your Bible and you open up and you go to Matthew 5, and you may know this already. It'll be on the screen as well if you don't have your Bible. It'll be online. If you go to Matthew 5, if you have your Bible, it probably has a title. It's the Sermon on the Mount. And then around verse 3, it shares something called the Beatitudes, right? And so he starts out Matthew 5 with these Beatitudes. This is how you're supposed to go. And then he sandwiches it at the very end of this with what I'm calling their Jesus Says statement. So he goes in and he says, hey, you have heard that you shall not murder, but I say. And so Jesus says, this is what really needs to be happening. And he shares like 6 to 8 of those things. So I want to read over when Jesus is telling us to be the salt of the earth. He's saying, hey, the things that I just shared with you, and I'm going to tell you in a minute, these are the things that I'm talking about. So let's go into Matthew 5, verse 3. It says this, blessed are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. And you may say, well, what's that mean, poor in spirit? Well, this is those who aren't overly righteous or religious, aren't putting themselves on a pedestal above others. They aren't spiritually arrogant. Yes, they have Jesus, but they recognize more than anything, they need Jesus more than anyone else. And that should be the same for all of us. So blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. If you dive into this a little bit, when it talks about mourning, it talks about how we, as Christ followers, we're still sinners, right? And we need to be at a place where we're grieving and mourning over our sin. And not just our sin, but the sins of others around us. Where we get to a place where we're so bothered by our sin and the sin that's going on that, man, we are grieving for it. But hey, what we know is that we get the Holy Spirit and he is our comforter. You go on to verse 5, it says, blessed are the humble, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. So it says, poor in spirit, mourn, be humble, hunger and thirst for righteousness, be merciful, be pure in heart, be peacemakers. And as you are experiencing persecution, as you are suffering, do so out of joy because you're suffering for Christ's sake. So he lays this out for us in Matthew 5. Then he goes on, and if you go to 5, verse 21, all the way through the end, through 48, I'm not going to read all of it to you, but he goes in there and he says, hey, you have heard it said, don't murder. But I say, don't even be angry at your brother. You need to reconcile and come to an agreement quickly. Verse 27 through 30 says, stay away from lust. Stay away from desiring something that man, you shouldn't, and acting on it. And if there is something that is causing you to sin, if there is some temptation, I mean, he goes on to say that if your eye is causing you to sin, gouge it out. If your hand is causing you to sin, cut it off. What are you saying? He's saying, remove yourself from the temptation in your life. Cut it out. Get rid of it. Matthew 33 through 37, he says, always tell the truth. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Stick to the words that you're saying and the commitments that you're making. Matthew 38 through 42, it says, hey man, if someone hurts you, what are you going to do? You're not going to retaliate or try to get revenge. No, you're going to turn the other cheek. Man, if someone asks you for something and you don't have much of it, you're just going to go the extra mile and give them even more. It's a call to be overly generous, to give unconditionally without the promise of any kind of return. And then he ends it in Matthew 43 through 48, and he says this, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And so when Jesus says, be the salt of the earth, this is what he's talking about. And it's something that runs so counter to our culture today. It's something that we're not seeing enough of in face-to-face conversation. We're definitely not seeing it online with people just posting negative things and sharing negative videos and commenting all these things and just blasting people all over the place just because they differ in opinion. It's gotten to a place where we unfollow, unfriend people that we've been friends with for years over something that will not matter in 5 to 10 years. May not matter in 5 months. But we're choosing to cause dissension and stir up trouble instead of being the salt of the earth. So this is it. And like I said, salt, it does add flavor. Salt can amplify good flavor. You know, salt can enhance sweetness in food. Salt can make bitter things better. So as Jesus followers, we're called to enhance the good that's already in the world. We're called to help people in situations that are bitter and make them better. And that's the reality. Salty Jesus followers, they make bitter things better, and they make good things great. And I wonder if that's true in your life. Are you trying to help the situations, diffuse the situations, turn something bitter into something better? Are you trying to take something that's already good and make it great? Jesus calls us to that. And it's, honestly, guys, it's a hard calling. When you see all the negativity, when you see all the hurt, it's so much easier to unfollow, to unfriend than to actually have that difficult conversation, isn't it? But Jesus calls us into those difficult conversations. Not for us, but for them. And in the process, it will help us. It'll help us be the salt of the earth. But ultimately, hopefully, it will lead to his glory. Because what people are going to begin to see in you is something that's different than the world. And that's what we need to be living out in our lives. So Matthew 5:13 says, "You are the salt of the earth." Now it goes on and it says this, "But if the salt should lose its taste, how can it be made salty? It's no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled on by men." It's kind of a difficult verse to swallow. You say, well, you know, what if I've been salty this year, like the bad kind of salty, right? And I have been nasty, and I have been bitter, and I have been resentful, and I have done some damage. Does that mean I can't enter back into it? No, that's not what it's saying. But it's reminding us to remember, man, that we've been given such a great gift. We've been given access to the Holy Spirit through Jesus. And those moments come when it's very hard for us to say the kind thing, to make that random act of kindness. I mean, we don't rely on our own strength, on our own wisdom. We rely on his. And when we allow the Spirit to move through us and speak through us and act on our behalf, man, that's when we begin to change lives, change relationships, change communities for the better, because we are being the salt of the earth. Have you ever, I know you've probably seen it in a show, or I don't know, maybe you've done it yourself, where you're going to pour salt on something, but the lid's not fully on, and you just pour a whole thing of salt on your food. It's the worst, right? And so there's this whole thing about spilled salt. I have some salt right here. There's this whole thing about spilled salt that it's not good to spill salt. Whoopsie, someone's going to clean that up later. It'll probably be me. So this whole thing about spilled salt and how it's a bad thing, right? And there's all these superstitions about salt. I'll read some of them. So there's an old Norwegian superstition that says a person will shed as many tears as will be necessary to dissolve the spilled salt. So that's, you know, there's a lot of tears for me. Sorry about that. There's some more. Old English belief has it that every grain of salt, again, represents future tears. Germans believe that whoever spills salt arouses enmity, and because of it, it is thought to be the direct act of the devil. So, if there's spilled salt, then the devil is getting in, man. He's tempting you. He's causing you to do things, say things that you shouldn't. The French throw a little spilled salt behind them in order to hit the devil in the eye. So the devil got hit in the eye. I think it was the left shoulder. I don't know. And so if you hit the devil in the eye, he gets blinded, and it prevents him from coming at you, because you're like, take some of that salt and some of that salt. That's some goodness and some kindness. Get out of my life, devil. I don't need you all up in my business. So I like that one. In the United States, We are weird people. Some people not only toss the pinch of salt over the left shoulder, but they crawl under that table and come out the other side. And so they hit the devil in the, and they're like, no, I'm getting away from him. And you're like, you're on the other side of the table. And then you're like, take some of that salt too, right? And so like the Americans, we go after it, you know what I'm saying? And so there's all these weird superstitions. And it's funny, I was looking into this and I was just reading, I got salt all over me. I was reading into some of this stuff and just, I don't know, I've never really looked into all of it, but I came across this thing about like, what is, where did it all originate? Why is it spilled salt such a bad omen? And I came across this thing that pointed to the painting of the Lord's Supper. You guys can go ahead and put that image up for me. Now, you've seen this painting. They're all sitting there. I put a little of my own flavor on there. And so you got Jesus. He's salt of the earth. I don't know who those other two people are, but they're salt of the earth. And then there's this man, Judas. And one of the things that people pointed out is that you know it's Judas because he's got the money bag. He's also, if you look at the rest of the pictures, he's the only one that doesn't have a little halo ring. But right in front of him, there's some spilled salt. And you go back to some of these superstitions, right? Spilled salt means the devil is working, the devil is moving, the devil's trying to do something. If you go and read about this story, what does Jesus say to Judas? Go and do what you have in mind. Because the devil was getting ready to use Judas to betray Jesus. And he spilled his salt, and he forgot to throw salt in the devil's eye, and so he went on and did this horrible thing. And so I think in our lives we do that. Maybe we're not trying to. Maybe we just get caught up in temptation or sin, or maybe it's gossip. Maybe it's telling a half truth or just lying a little bit to get ahead or to get that job, lying on a resume. Maybe it's cheating someone out of whatever. Maybe it's money or something else. Maybe it's I don't know what it may be, but we begin to spill our salt, and instead of going into situations in our lives and speaking kindness and responding and acting in goodness and gracious, we let our salt spill out somewhere along the way, and instead we respond with negativity and hurt because we're not filling up. We spill our saltiness when we begin, and this is so crucial, when we begin to believe the lies that the enemy is whispering into our minds. It won't be that bad. Oh, no, worry. There won't be any consequences to this. No, you won't lose any friendships over that thing that you post. No. If you say that, they'll be fine with that. No, it's not a big deal. Do it. You'll see. It'll be fine. And we fall into this temptation and this sin. And the more that we live in sin, and the more that we seek out that temptation and stop pressing up against it, the less salt that we have to use to combat it. And so instead of the Holy Spirit speaking and working through us, it's just us again. All of our sin, all of our hurt, all of our pain, all of our regrets, everything coming out, and it's coming out in a nasty, bitter, resentful way. And if we don't get it under control, it can cause a lot of damage. It can ruin marriages. It can ruin families. It can separate churches. It can tear down communities. When we don't get our sin under control, the worst thing is that it comes between who God has called us to be through his Son, Jesus Christ. And that's what took place with Judas. He went and he did this thing, and you go on and read about it. He tried to take it back. But his actions, his sin, they tormented him to the point of death and taking his own life. And he forgot Jesus' words. He forgot what it meant to be the salt of the earth. And so here's what I'll say to you, man. If the enemy is coming at you, and let's say he's tempting you in some way, and maybe it does have it, something to do with the temperature of our culture today, and maybe it's political, or maybe it's about race, or maybe it's about something else, and The enemy's whispering things in your mind, lying to you about certain things and saying, hey, here's how you should respond. Give them the what for, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter, it's online. No one's going to care. As a matter of fact, there'll be many of people that agree with you. And that's not always a good thing, just so you know. Just because you got people agreeing with you doesn't mean it's a good thing. And so he lies to you. But what if in the midst of those temptations, and maybe it's that the enemy is lying to you about how well you are, good you are as a parent, saying, hey, you shouldn't do this, you can't do this, you don't have what it takes. Your kids are horrible. They're rude and they're nasty, and that's on you. That's your fault. And you gotta tell the devil, nuh-uh. And the best way to combat the enemy's lies is with God's word. You know that, right? And it's allowing yourself to be in God's word enough that you actually write his word on your heart and say, you know what, devil, I don't believe a lick of anything that you're saying. Because here's what God's word says about me, that I am beautiful, I am magnificent, that I am his masterpiece, that I have a purpose, man, and that I am called to be the salt of the earth. And so no matter how rude and nasty and ungrateful my kids are, I'm still going to love them and feed them and bathe them, okay? And so no, I'm not going to give up. No, I'm not going to go on social media and blast somebody just because they think a different way than me. No, you know what? I'm going to go to them and I'm going to sit down and have a conversation with them. And really get to the heart of it. Because these aren't things that should separate friendships. I love that there's a meme that says, you know, we can have a different opinion and still be friends. But I think there's a lot of conversation that has to happen in that. Face-to-face conversation. And you got to let go of some of that bitterness and resentment. And thinking that you're always right. Ooh, did I go there? There's compromise in this. So what I would say, the enemy's tempting you, like I was doing before. I love it, right? You just, no, Jesus said I'm the salt of the earth, that I am humble, that I am a peacemaker, that I'm gentle, that I am hungering and thirsting for righteousness, that I am going to seek God's word above everything else and believe God's word over your lives. So you coming at me with my kids? No. You coming at me with my husband? No. You going to come at me with lust and porn and all that? No, I'm not doing it. I'm throwing this in your face. You need to back off because I want to live for Jesus and I want to be the salt of the earth again. We throw it in his face. We don't let him take us down. That's all he wants. He doesn't want you to be anything like Jesus. But we go and we be the salt of the earth. So we throw the salt. But here's the thing, as you're giving it out, right? Again, it's hard to take that high road, isn't it? When people are just relentless on trying to tear you down and berate you and saying nasty things, it's hard to speak joy and to be gentle and to be kind. It's hard to be peacemakers. And so as you're throwing your salt, you guys didn't sit in the first row for a reason. Did I get you? You're losing some of your salt. And so in order for you to continue doing that every single day, you know what you have to do? You have to go back to the source and get filled up every single day. Some of y'all come in here on Sundays, and you're worn out. You're tired. Like, I need it. I need my Jesus fix. And here I am saying is you need your Jesus fix every single day. Don't wait for Sunday. Because the enemy's not taking days off. The enemy's not going to leave your family alone 5 days out of the week and say, oh, it's Sunday now. Let's ramp things up. I think on the weekends he does do that, right? Like on Sunday morning, he's like, your kids are just wild, right? Like they're the spawn of Satan themselves. And you're like, why are you like this? All week long, it's been great, but now we're trying to go to church. And then you're like, you just start putting salt all over all your kids. And be like, there, be kind today. We're going to church. But we've got to replenish. We've got to go to the source. We've got to fill up. I love this in Psalm 19. And really, I'm going to read the whole thing to you, but what I want to get is verse 7. And it says this, the instruction of the Lord is perfect, and here's the best part, renewing one's life. His word, his truth, his promises, they renew us, and the testimony of the Lord is trustworthy, making the inexperienced wise. The precepts of the Lord are right, making the heart glad. The command of the Lord is radiant, making the eyes light up. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinance of the Lord are reliable and altogether righteous. It's by going to his word that we fill up so that we can continue to overflow. So if you're feeling angry, if you're feeling bitter, if you're feeling resentful, if you're feeling unkind, if you're feeling the opposite of what Jesus calls us to be as salt, the answer is to go to his word. Be renewed. Do it daily. Don't wait till Sunday. This is so important and so vital to our everyday life to help us be the salt of the earth in every situation. You know, in Mark 9:50, it says, have salt among yourselves and be at peace with one another. There are a lot of interesting things about salt. The word salary comes from an ancient word meaning salt money, referring to a Roman soldier's allowance for the purchases of salt. Someone who earns his pay is said to be worth his salt. Salt has also been used to express promises and friendships between people. It was even considered by the Greeks to be divine. In some cultures, if two men partake of salt together, they are sworn to protect one another, even if they were enemies before. And then in some cultures, they throw salt over their shoulder when they make a promise. And so salt is kind of synonymous with the word covenant. And in the scriptures, there's this phrase mentioned, and it's called the covenant of salt. I want to give you one. It's in Numbers 18, verse 19. It says, I give to you and to your sons and daughters all the holy contributions that Israelite presents to the Lord as a permanent statute. It is a permanent covenant of salt before the Lord for you as well as your offspring. And so what we know is that salt is, it's a preservative, yeah? It helps that those things, it's an instrument to make things last longer. And so when you say a covenant of salt, it means that this covenant is perpetual and it's not to be broken, and that's how salt preserves things. And so as I close out today, as we step into this series, what I want to do is I want to ask you, church here online, to make a covenant of salt, to commit to being the salt of the earth, to stay salty no matter the situation, no matter what's going on around you. Now, I created a covenant that I want to speak together as a church. I'm going to read it to you, but this covenant comes directly from the Beatitudes, and here's what it says. The Stay Salty Covenant says, I will depend on God. I will grieve over sins, mine and the world's. I will submit to God's word. I will hunger and thirst for righteousness. I will keep my heart pure. I will seek peace. I will suffer in joy, and I will pray for my enemies. So here's what I want to do. Whether you're here with us or online, if you're willing to say, yes, I want to make a covenant of salt. Again, this is a permanent declaration that says, I will be the salt of the earth that Jesus calls me to be. I want to ask that you, we're going to read through this again. I'm going to ask that you, right where you're at, you would just speak these words out right where you're at. That is saying that I am willing to make this covenant. Y'all ready to do this? At home, you ready to do this? If you don't want to, you don't have to. If you don't think anyone's going to judge you. That's not what this is about. So here we go. If you're not like all about like saying things out loud in public, I understand. But let's read this together. You ready? I will depend on God. I will grieve over sins. I will submit to God's word. I will hunger for righteousness. I will keep a pure heart. I will seek peace. I will suffer in joy. And I will pray for my enemies. Not just on Sunday, but every day. Anytime that the enemy comes at you, anytime that he is speaking lies into your life, you will remember this covenant. Now, what I want you to do is, if this is something that you're wanting to do, and even if you didn't say it out loud, if you're saying, yes, I want to live this out every single day. I want to get you something. I want to get you this covenant. I want to send you an image to put on your phone. I want you to put it on your desktop. I want you to have it to share with anybody. And so if you're saying today, yes, I want to make this covenant. I want to be the salt of the earth. Will you take out your Connect card? If you're here with us, there's a Connect card in the seat back in front of you. Pull the Connect card out. Write your name on it. Write some information on it. Maybe we don't have it so that we can contact you and send you this and encourage you every day online. Go to the online Connect card. Fill that out. In the area where it's prayers and praises or anywhere, just write in there, stay salty. Just write stay salty. I want to stay salty. I'll contact you this week. I'm going to send this image over to you. Put it on your phone. Let it be a daily reminder. When people are coming at you, when the enemy's speaking lies into your life, to be someone who is gentle, who is humble, who's not arrogant, who is trust, thirsting and hungering for righteousness, who is praying for their enemies. Let this be a constant reminder every single day. Take that Connect card. Fill that out. Do it online. You'll have time to do that as we close out service. What I want to do right now is I want to pray over our commitment. Because it's one thing to say, yes, I want to do that every day. And then we get into our work week or we go to school. Things aren't going the way we plan. Situations and circumstances are going downhill. And we spill some of our salt instead of covering people in it and covering people in the kind words and the gentle way and being peacemakers. And so I would say, man, take this with you. Would you guys pray with me? God, right now, we are coming to you as a body of believers. God, we know we aren't perfect. We know we're going to mess up. We know there's going to be sin in our lives and that temptation will come. But today we are making a salt covenant with you that says no matter what, no matter how hard I fall, no matter how much I mess up, God, I'm going to remember these words. I'm going to be pure of heart. God, I'm going to pray for my enemies. God, I'm going to hunger and thirst for your righteousness. God, I'm going to submit to your word. I'm going to live out my life as a Jesus follower in humility, not in arrogance. I'm not going to put myself up on a pedestal, God. But in all things, I'm going to be loving. I'm going to be kind. I'm not going to stir up trouble, God, but I'm going to help dissolve the situation. I want to be a peacemaker in my world, in my community, in my home, in my workplace, in my school. God, and I can't do it alone. I need you. I need your spirit. I need your word every single day, God. So today, as we make this covenant, myself included, I pray that it wouldn't just be some passing thing that we did on a Sunday. God, I pray that you would stir up a passion and a desire within us to be in your word every single day because you know what? We need it. It is so necessary to our daily life. I pray that we would move forward. Maybe with some relationships that we have to reconcile. Maybe there's a relationship that you've been calling us into but that we've been avoiding because it was too scary or it might take too much, but God, through you, we can do it. In our weakness, you are strong. God, allow us to hold to the promise of the covenant that we're making with you today. Now, if you're here with us, whether online or in person, in order to be the salt of the earth, you have to give your life to the salt provider, and that is Jesus, that is God. He is the author and sustainer of life. And I talked a little bit about Jesus and who he is, and you know, he came down to this earth and he died for you. He died for me. He died so that we could be the salt of the earth through the Holy Spirit. And it's through his death and his resurrection that we are able to be called the salt of the earth. And today, if you've not tapped into who Jesus is and what he has for you, now I want to pray with you right now to do that. To say, God, I believe you are God's son. I believe that you came to this earth and lived a sinless life, but then died a sinner's death and you took my place. But you rose again 3 days later so that I could be forgiven and be given new life in you. God, right now I come to you, all my sins, all the past regrets and shame and everything. God, I lay it at your feet and I say, I'm going to put this behind me and I'm going to move forward living and being the salt of the earth. God, I'm going to go to your word and live out your word in my life. God, right now, I pray for those who made that decision. I pray for this commitment. I pray that you give us courage, you give us strength in everything that we're doing. Allow us, no matter what, to be the salt of the earth. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Amen.